Hello and welcome back to Stories Told by Friends. On this episode, you'll hear the second part of my conversation with James as we dissect the details of the high school basketball coaching experience he described in part one. Spoiler alert, listen to that story before continuing with part two.
We've seen this league do the 5-minute overtime. I just wonder where that came from.
That's a great point. I think it was just such an unprecedented protest that they had no idea what to do. And they were like, how can we make this fair?
Joining James for this debrief are the ever insightful Ben and Tegan. And a big shout out to Eric, the ultimate co-coach, trusty sidekick, and gray ghost of this show. Without further ado, here's the commentary.
The going back on another day and playing an overtime.
I know.
I've never heard of that.
I know.
It's like wild.
Anywhere.
Wild.
I know. My argument is an overtime is almost the same as a coin flip in the league that we are in. So we just didn't know what was going to happen in 5 minutes, and we needed more of a game. Or you just go ahead with what was on the scorecard and what was signed off by both coaches, really. Yeah. Because there's mistakes that happen all the time, and there was a mistake in that game. And so, yeah.
Mistakes happen all the time. All the time. It's trying to say that something in the first quarter automatically gives it the sum of the game at the end, like just for points for points.
Right, right.
Well, it's not like, just as you said, you were taking the ball or the air out of the ball at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you were running, you were using the shot clock. Yeah. You didn't care if you got a shot off because you're up. You know,
right.
You were wasting right. time when you could have been attacking.
Not even the last possession, probably the last 2 minutes. If you knew you were down, four.
Yeah,
you're pushing.
Like, well, I know.
It everything changes.
So yeah. The dynamic of the game, it was crazy, and I don't want to say it was petty of me, but I actually rewatched the entire game and calculated the shooting percentage of the opposing team. And I was like, they had 59 chances to make up the point differential, right? Like, we played solid defense and we shut them down throughout the entire game. And so I guess you could argue that the other way, that the points were that much more important. But we deserved to win ultimately. And, if you were in the gym that night, you would have said the same thing. But you know, it's a huge learning experience for me. Just the fact that they were so dominant throughout the year and we weren't, and we just really proved that we had gotten that much better to be deserving to beat them. That's what hit a little bit harder as well.
Yeah. Well, that's the success story. I mean, you guys took a team that was really, I mean, they took a vote.
Exactly.
You took a team from pretty meager commitment and talent to performing at a really high level.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a real victory. So there's the moral victory.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you want that kind of effort and that kind of progress to be rewarded.
Absolutely.
So I just think back to how many times when I was coaching, I didn't notice the score.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I totally am with you on that. Like, you know, like you're into the game, you're calling strategy, you're not watching the twos necessarily go up each time. And every time I've had that situation in coaching, one of the parents caught it.
In
the stands.
Always the parents.
Yeah.
They always catch it. Like, you hear it now still.
Right. Check the score.
Yeah.
Check the score. Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
Put it on the wrong side, you know.
No, totally.
But there were no fans.
Right, no fans, no.
Yeah, and so you kind of think that's a bit of a COVID casualty.
Right,
as well.
Yeah.
Because they would have caught it.
Yeah, exactly.
You would have been tied instead of up two.
Right.
And you would have gone down and scored because you were, in
exactly.
the flow.
You know,
yeah.
Game strategy changes at that point.
Absolutely.
When you don't score. And yeah, no, you're totally right. And so there was parents that were obviously watching the stream and sending texts. And,
But they did tell them to check the score. They stopped it.
Yeah.
And the refs went to the table, and it's what they had.
Yeah.
So it's
then
play on.
So the refs were also caught up in the game. I mean, they did make the mistake. I watched it, and of course they made the mistake.
Sure.
But
Okay.
But yeah,
so this brings forward what you were kind of hinting around at the start of the story, which is that, you know, an East Side school, more of a basketball school, more of a, has more of a machine, lots of coaches, you know, lots of maybe influence.
Right, right.
And as opposed to, you know, a West Side school, not expected to do well anyway. Right. So it sounds like they kind of bullied their way to a protest, you know, like the, because it was already checked. The game was done and it was conducted appropriately.
Right.
And things were reviewed, et cetera, and something was missed. You could argue till you're blue in the face about a charge block call three times in the game. Right. Like it gives you an extra possession. You're doing it on the score.
Yeah.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And this was something brought up to, by my essay as well. And he had said, I'm just a little bit worried because there's some people that are on the board that are making this decision that were ex-staff members at the school.
Oh, boy.
And so it was almost like I had, they were just, it was just falling on deaf ears, what I was saying. You know, he was like, oh, I agree. Like, that's a great point. And then click, hang up. And then, an hour later, we get the email saying we're going to do the overtime. So I don't know what was said within that boardroom, right, or that decision of those people. That ultimately made the decision. So, yeah, you could. I mean, I think about it all the time, but ultimately, I think I'm happy with how it all went down.
For sure. Yeah, it's just you do start to wonder about the calls that were coming from the other side.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, from the decision that was made, you know who has influence and who doesn't.
Yeah.
The intern from the West Side School or the, you know, the person with the experience who already has been a staff member with this person.
And,
you hate to put it down to that. But
ultimately,
you know, the kids had a great experience.
Yeah.
You have a great story.
Right. Definitely told it to you guys a few times.
Yeah, it's good.
Even if you don't want to hear it. But
I still always wonder where they pulled the 5 minute overtime from.
Yeah. Where did that rule come out of thin air?
Right. Like, did they ever point to any kind of, like, document or...
like, precedence?
Or something where they're like, oh, this is what we've done before, or this is... we've seen this league do the 5 minute overtime. I just wonder where that came from.
That's a great point. I think it was just such an unprecedented protest that they had no idea what to do. And they were like, how can we make this fair? How can we fit this in time so that we can do the third place game as well?
Yeah.
And they just fell upon a 5 minute overtime, which...
I mean, it makes sense given those factors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want to move the other games a day.
Yeah.
Got to squeeze it in.
And it's tied.
Yeah.
So if it had been tied, then we would have gone to overtime. Right. So we'll just go to overtime.
Yeah.
After a whole day.
Do our overtime.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. It's, let's say the coin is flipped and you're in the shoes of the other coach. And so it's one of your, let's say, totally reverse. One of your parents you hear from after the game is like, you know what? You got to go and look at this video. Mm-hmm. They miss some points. Like, where do you think it goes from there?
That's a great question. I'll say that I don't think any of the parents would have called me. and then I probably wouldn't have got home until like 10 p.m. I'll start with that. But, you know, I actually think that if I would have wanted to do something like that, which maybe I would have, I think that my SA would have stopped me and said, you know, that's the result of the game, because he was a huge basketball guy and he'd seen score mistakes and, you know, throughout the game and whatever else. And I don't think he would actually side with me on the protest. And it's a great question. I think I can't honestly say that I wouldn't go through with maybe a protest, depending on my emotions in the time. But at the same time too, if we had lost a game against a team that we weren't really expected to win against, I'd probably just take that loss. But that's an excellent question. I just think on my side of things, as far as who was supporting me from the phys ed department and athletic director, they probably wouldn't want to go through with a protest with all the, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's not just the coach's decision. It's got to be the athletic director from the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were both united on making this protest.
Right.
Throwing more weight behind it.
Yeah. But after learning about this experience, I don't know if the rules are the same in Saskatoon now, but if I don't agree with something, maybe protest the game during the game, right? That's what has to happen. This game is under protest and then you sign the scorecard. And I've learned a lot about it too. So I think that what happens in the game should should be what happens in the game, and you know, the result was meant to be in that sense.
Well, I mean, it's got to be in the moment, because right. then if they had made the decision, then you play the overtime right then.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And
right.
then everybody's still like as tired as they were,
right.
and yeah. into the same flow and all. Oh,
right,
that,
so. And that was another thing too, is yeah. they were fired up, like they for their warm up, they looked like they had a new, like they were rejuvenated with a new opportunity, right? Like we have a chance to make the city final right now. The other team, I'm talking.
Yeah.
Our girls, not that they weren't fired up, they were just a little bit scared that their this opportunity was kind of falling from their grasp a little bit.
Right, because yeah. they're the underdogs.
Right.
You know, they mm-hmm. how often can you slay Goliath?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, the last thing I'd say about that is if they do the proper protest and they say it during, say, hey, this is under protest, then your strategy might change. Hey, like let's try to push and win by 6 or
right,
8.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And then if the protest goes through, we have a better case.
100%. Yeah.
So like everything
yeah.
changes.
Yeah. yeah. I'm not telling changes. My girls to hold the ball.
No.
Right?
No.
Yeah.
And it brings yeah. me to the norm in Saskatoon, at least in
right.
in basketball, where sometimes there are those score protests and they go over to the score sheet, and other than a ref maybe, you know, being fully confident in that there was a mistake, they go with what the sheet says.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, sometimes that is wrong.
I know. Yeah.
And it's just yeah. and then,
but
and then
just
you,
the way it is.
That's yeah. just that's just that's, kind of the norm of sports, that's been
yeah.
built. And so
yeah. Yeah.
And it yeah. seems more dramatic because it's 2 points. It actually
right.
went through the hoop.
Right.
But it's no more dramatic than a travel or a you know tip ball
right.
out of bounds, an
it's
extra possession,
point.
You yeah. know, a,
true.
You know, a held ball where they got the possession
yeah.
error wrong.
Yeah.
All of
yeah.
those things happen.
Or, yeah.
There's a thousand things that happen in a basketball game.
Right.
Like
but
that,
because
that,
it's 2 points
right.
yeah,
and you
right
can look yeah. on the screen and say it was definitive.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
no, you got
not gonna say you got robbed.
Yeah.
You got robbed a little bit.
I don't think there was, you know, any ill intention from anything, like, in hindsight. Like, I think it was just a one day, this decision needs to be made tonight. We don't know what the heck to do. And I just think they should have just consulted their policies for, you know, a protest. And ultimately, that was that. And but they,
yeah.
the best part is that they admitted that their wrongs. And that brought me the most closure, really. So,
right.
and
then
yeah.
Just give gold medals to your girls then.
yeah. Right. yeah, honestly.
We're actually protesting
a gold
the,
slash
the
silver.
Final.
We
yes. won that.
We're
yeah.
protesting the final.
Yeah, yeah.
We get a gold slash silver.
Yeah. They should raise a banner. We're in the city final, but then weren't and then lost and then got fourth.
yeah.
Biggest banner ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
yeah. I will say one of the coolest takeaways from the whole year. And I didn't know this throughout the entire season, was that they became really close. The team became really close from this. I'd assumed that they were friends in school until one of our leaders was like, no, like we didn't even know each other coming into this season. And like now we are best friends in the halls. Like we're, you know, we're really tight from the year. So that was a really cool takeaway. And I don't know if they even get that close if it hadn't happened that way. Maybe they do because they made city champions, whatever. But for me, that was a really gratifying takeaway.
Yeah, and all that emotion I'm sure brought them together even more. You know, sometimes adversity brings you together more than success. But
yeah.
Well, and you've coached teams since.
Yeah.
Like this year you coached a basketball team at Centennial.
Yeah.
What do you think you brought with you this season that something you took away from the season with Bing?
Just really stressing commitment at the start of the season, what it means to be a committed basketball team and how far it can take you. And the team I coached this year had no success last year. They didn't win any, but maybe they were in the wrong division at the time. But we had some success this year, ultimately didn't win a playoff game, but they really enjoyed it. And I think it was in part because of the commitment was really high and the girls were really enjoying it, the process. You can do a lot in a basketball season when you have people there. And so, and those girls are friends as well too. So I see the parallels of team sport and what can bring people together. And that was a huge takeaway for me.
Yeah.
I like it.
Did you talk to your dad about this situation?
Oh yeah. I talked to the whole universe about the situation.
I asked because, you know, your dad, long time coach, always had a great philosophy about development, but was also a competitive guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so what did he tell you?
Well, I think he'd been through some, you know, protests in his coaching career too. And he was just more so being a father figure and, you know, I support you. And we had some calls before and he tried to tell me to get some sleep, I think, that night. And because he knows that I have his DNA and I am as passionate as he is about both sports as well. So it was more so like a comforting side, like I feel for you. right now, and they've made their decision, and you got to try to get some sleep and go win it tomorrow, basically, was his kind of his fatherly advice. And I wish we could have done it, but
yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
When did you study? If you did study during this season, did you find time to study?
Man, on away games, like, I'm a very passionate person. So I'd be fired up by the result, win or lose, after an away game. Most likely lost during the first part of the season. So honestly, school was a write-off on away games. It was like, I was getting home at like 3 from school, having to bus at 4. So have a snack, whatever. And like I said, getting home at around 9 every night. Oh, yeah. And then kind of unwinding. And that would be my study time. If there was a home game, it was a lot different. It was only 20 minutes to the school. That's when I would find time to study, but
that's fair.
Yeah, no, it was tough. I was super invested in the season, and sometimes I am to a fault. I'm like really passionate. But my classmates were along for the ride too. They had a few basketball fans in my class, and they couldn't believe what was happening too. So they were really invested in what was going on.
I love it.
Yeah, and they were supportive as well.
So you never once took a taxi, hey? Or an Uber?
No, so we actually had some funny stories about going to games too. One time, so Eric and I had this funny coincidence that every time we tried to catch a bus together in the very well-ran metro, you know, transit of Vancouver, we could never catch a bus. They were always late. It just seemed like every time it was me and Eric, it was like one of those things where Eric would be like, "No, my bus, man, it's not coming. It's not coming, man." And it just would happen all the time. So
the big backslide.
Yeah, yeah. So one time we cut it a little bit close as far as when we were going on the bus. And we're like, fuck, we got to go here. So we go get to the bus stop. And of course, they're not coming. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It was a consistent schedule. And Eric's like, "Boss, man, like, I don't know what we're going to do." And I'm like, "I don't know either." So we had to go get to his car, drive to a train station, take a train, and then a bus to a game one time. Like, we had to park his car by the train station because it would have been way too far for him to drive the whole way. We parked it by a train station, hopped on a train, took the train a long ways, then hopped on a bus to the game. Because we were, like, west, close to UBC, right?
Yeah.
West, and the school's in East Van. Like, it's far east, like close to Burnaby sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah. And the worst part, though, is the girls knew this is part of being a team. You have to go to away games. Like, sometimes they have to come to Bing, right? And they would always be like, "Oh, like, I can't get a ride there. My parents work in." Like, figure it out. Like, you live in Vancouver. Like, you got to figure it out and get there somehow. Like, take the bus. We take the bus, you know?
Yeah, like, it's a good lesson. We are doing this currently.
It's so much different than Saskatoon, though. Like, I do understand it was like a hassle for the parents to take them there sometimes because it's like in traffic going to the other side of the city.
Brutal.
But we had some good times.
So no one ever offered you a ride?
Okay, well, I will say one of my players did offer me a ride one time. One time I couldn't take it because, like, they're my player, but they did offer me. They felt bad that I had to. My gift from the team at the end of the year was an Uber gift card.
Oh
yeah, yeah.
I thought a bus pass.
Yeah, but it was always since it was a senior team, they were always driving themselves, and no spectators were allowed.
Oh yeah, right.
So
oh, yeah.
And I had to draw the line with the girls and be like, "I can't accept rides from you. Like, I'll have to take the bus."
Right. Yeah, I fair enough. Maybe
they're still COVID-y.
Still COVID-y.
Yeah,
and like.
Just
drawing the line.
Just drawing the line.
Proximity.
Yeah.
Like, do you have
even though I wanted to.
Do you have a van?
Right.
Okay, I'll get in the very back.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right.
Me and the balls.
Yeah.
I'll put the balls. Yeah, can you also take the balls?
Yeah. Could someone take the balls for us?
We had some funny stuff. Like, one game, this girl had a necklace, and so she asked me to carry it. And so I put it in my little pouch, like Lululemon thing. And when I was taking out my bus pass or wallet after the game, I must have dropped the necklace, right? Like, I forgot to give it to her after the game.
Yeah.
So I get a call from her. She's like, "Hey, like, can I come grab my necklace from you?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll grab it." I'm like, "Fuck, I don't have it." And she's like, "Oh, like, it was like a gift from my grandma and stuff." Like, she's like, "It's a really important necklace of mine." And I'm like, I'm just like freaking out. So Eric and I are retracing our steps because we'd walked all the way to the bus stop, of course. And we were walking back in the dark, no lights, with like a flashlight with these girls. Who finds it?
Eric.
He's like, Boz, man, it's right here.
I went, no way. Like, on a big street.
Okay, yeah, that is absurd.
On East Side, like,
Eric was him all season.
I felt so bad. We all got our flashlights out, me and two other players and Eric, and we're looking for it. He's like, Boz, man.
like he was never worried about it.
No. He saved my ass a bunch. That's just me and Eric. Just the dynamic was funny.
Oh, that's why you get him on your coaching staff.
No, 100%. And like he was so dead on when he told me to put that girl in. She was a soccer player that didn't have much skill.
Yeah.
And he put her at the point of the press and just got so many steals into layups. And you just like, let's go. And it was unreal. 17-2 run there.
Man, even just experiencing that season, like, distally, you know, away from you guys was electric.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Bing Gray Ghost, tier two.
The Bing Gray Ghost. Yeah. I love it.
That's a great name.
And we had a lot of coaching experience in the room. Yeah. Ben, did you have any controversies this year in your senior girls coaching?
You know what? Nothing really crazy with our team.
Not yet.
We're gearing up for a end of the season stretch. Here we're sitting at the 4 seed, and we have some powerhouses ahead of us. One that we've lost to in overtime. One that we've lost to handily. So. We play a couple of them again, so I'm looking forward to it a lot. I'm excited. I may have a story for you come third weekend of March. We'll see.
Well, I think we know what the secret is. You just got to get Eric to take a holiday. I think into town. Sit on the bench.
He is the key piece, honestly.
In most facets of life.
Yeah.
Well, Tegan, you had no controversy in your playoffs at all.
We lost our semi fair and square. Yeah, that was great.
That gym was rocking.
Oh, it was fun. Yeah.
Unreal atmosphere.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is nice to see the energy of the fans back in. Mm-hmm, but for people who don't have as much experience, like mm-hmm. I think your girls probably benefited from a quieter environment.
Oh, 100%. So they 100%.
Could, oh, yeah.
You know, they could concentrate. Tegan's guys this year, their skills are still developed.
Yeah.
They're not like locked down. So when they get a little bit more amped up because the place is so loud and there's something on the line, it's harder to execute.
Yeah.
So you definitely saw that.
100%.
So.
Which was really exciting.
Yeah.
We had in the third place game too. Yeah. It was honestly a good year in our league. Just super, mm-hmm. super close all the way.
Mm-hmm. You love to see fans going out to the junior games mm-hmm. too, right? Like mm-hmm. not just the senior games, but having that atmosphere at junior as well. So they can be exposed to that. Like that's part of basketball too, is the crowd and being able to, you know, handle the crowd. And
well, for kids who may never play senior, like there are always kids in junior who don't play senior.
Yeah.
This could have been the biggest basketball experience of their life.
Yeah.
And it was legitimate. Like it was super loud, super close, you know, like
that's
really,
awesome.
You know, hotly contested. Yeah. So that's a great experience because ultimately, you know, that probably none of these guys are going to play,
100%.
You know, too far down the road.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's just about having an experience.
Yeah.
So one day they can look back and say, do you remember that game? Like
at
the 30th reunion.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You remember that game?
Bowman when the fans are chanting overrated?
Yeah. Well, that's what you remember.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. Keep your eyes on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
You're in your playoffs there, Benny.
Like a team that in a dead gym is going to come out and play flat. How do you get them to come out and not play flat? You know, you encourage them, you try to fire them up. Where do you think it can come from?
I'm very early in my career, so I'll speak first, and hopefully I get corrected by the end.
Well, no.
But
you know more about
basketball. I've been trying to put more of that onus on my players. Like, I can't be the one to mm-hmm. bring the most energy. I've got too much other stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it has to be the bench.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be your teammates to bring that energy, like, to bring the actual energy.
Mm-hmm.
I can get excited for you, I can cheer with you and celebrate with you, but I cannot be the one that's carrying the brunt of that energy. Mm-hmm. So it's on the bench. It's on who's ever out there.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's as much as I've gotten.
No, I like that.
I agree.
I like that a lot. I agree.
I played in front of a lot of empty CFL stadiums in U-Sport.
Yeah.
Which I hate about U-Sport. Like, I think Huskies have the best stadium in the country, probably. Small enough where it can be, you know, electric.
Mm-hmm.
These CFL stadiums we go to, it just feels empty. And so my coaches would always say, like, like you're saying, we have to bring the energy. Like, we got to be the energy on the bench. Like,
mm-hmm.
we got to be unnecessarily loud to at least make it feel like there's people in this building, mm-hmm. right? Like, communication, whatever it is, like, you have to, like, it almost might feel uncomfortable
mm-hmm.
In such a quiet space. But exactly just adding on to Tegan, though. I remember Barkley told me when I barely made junior Huskies, he's like, you're a bench guy, like, but you got to be the best bench guy that I've ever had on my team. Like, so he's like, you got to fire up the boys, like people taking charge, whatever it is, right? Like, you got to be into it. I don't know if you have someone on your team like that, but you definitely need the bench to be into it.
Yeah.
I just think that what you're after is individuals playing hard. And so you've got to know what works for the individuals. Some guys you need to get in their face. Some guys you just need to say, that number 14, he's yours all day.
Yeah,
take it personally. You know, or some guys need, you know, other guys yelling or whatever. But then you need to put them in a situation that allows them to get into the game. Having kids in a competitive situation, like get them working hard in warm up,
right?
So that they've got a sweat on, and maybe they've competed just a little bit, or they've been going at each other. But then, I like what you did in that overtime. Like, let's pick up, let's go. Like, let's get some energy going. Let's take some fouls. Let's let's turn this thing into a bit of a war. And stuff happens. Somebody tries to take a charge. They don't get, and then guys just naturally, because they like the game. Right. They just naturally get into the game.
They get
worked up.
Totally.
100%. Guys are flying around
from the get go.
Like, you're 1-2-2.
Yeah.
No.
Definite gym for sure.
For sure. It's just.
But that's the only chance we had. Was to do that.
No, and, I mean smart.
No, I know what you mean. 100%. I like what you said about, like, hey, you got 14. Like, if you can have a girl where you give them a little challenge, like,
oh man,
you know what I mean? Like,
that is so awesome when you can.
I know, like, you know, like, hey, you're taking her all day. You know, like, this those little competitions is huge.
And then and then you watch that, and you know that you turn them over, or you know they get an 8-second call or whatever.
Oh yeah,
and you just go, whoa.
Oh, yeah.
We had the most electric start to a game that we've ever had this season, and it was in Evan Hardy Gym. And we hadn't set this goal before, but our goal was to force a timeout early in the game.
That
was
first timeout.
Yeah. That's like make the other team take a timeout early, and you could tell the gals just had it in their minds. Like, minute one, minute two, minute three, and with 7:30 left in the first quarter, other team calls a timeout because we had forced turnovers, gotten some layups, went on a little run, and the feeling, you know, coming off the bench and the girls are running to the bench, girls are running off the bench to meet them. It was crazy.
That's crazy.
Electric. Like,
man.
Just a rush. Oh. An absolute rush through me. It was wild. So,
who came up with that one? That's a great one. I love that.
Yeah, it was just in our pre-game circle. Yeah. I said, I want to see them take a timeout. Like, early in the game.
You said that? Or
I did say it. Yeah.
Nice.
That's awesome. And it ended up like working out. And I think just it was because it was something that we hadn't thought about before, and we usually start slow, but
and that could be an every game goal.
Like, I want it to be
definitely the first, make them take the first time out.
Oh yeah, like, win the timeout battle. Nothing like it. And you can be in an opposing team's gym. There can be nothing but dead silence, and it can just feel electric when you force a timeout. So,
well, that's like at the next level, at the U Sport level. Teams are so good. They come into, especially like the pack, where it's like it's usually pretty bumping considering. Like, some of these men's teams, they come out and they're louder than everyone else in the stands when they're better than our team. And
oh,
it's like, how do you, like, it's a very high level athlete thing to be able to know how to do that. How do you teach these beginning athletes to kind of know how impactful that is?
Right, exactly.
It's like, once they get it, and they bring it consistently. Even if it's like somewhat superficial, it's like, it's still very important. Like,
yeah, it's confidence.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The loudest person in the room is generally the most confident person in the room.
You hear that, Boz? So.
Am I the loudest?
Not always. Sometimes.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thanks. Okay. That was tremendous.
Thanks, Dave.
Good job, Dave. Well,
that was good.
Thanks,
I was nervous telling it.
Were you?
Yeah. I didn't know how, like, the proper way to tell it, but.
Oh, I think you did great. Very thorough.
I think just the lead up, and I was even thinking of like details of the story of how it kind of makes it a sports story where we played them first.
Yeah.
You know, and like playing them first, getting annihilated, and then wanting to play them again. I legitimately brought them to the corner of the gym, and I was like, we can beat this team. They're like, we can do it. Like, I saw enough, we can do it.
Yeah.
And so just like that throughout the season. And
I love how you, as like your ultra competitive, like, played the high level sports self. You're like, oh, we're gonna get them again. And your girls nowhere near being bought in yet.
Oh, no.
We're like,
what
the They weren't bought in until 2 weeks before the playoffs. Like,
How did the expectations from you change throughout the season? Like, it sounded like they were even high after game one, though. You're like, we're gonna see them again. We're gonna beat them.
We had a lot of close losses, actually, and the. They would have been wins if we had better commitment, like, ultimately. And they just couldn't see through that, and they were so concerned with getting into Queens, getting into McGill, getting into UBC. Like, their concern or their excuse every time, I gotta study. I'm like, no, you have practice. Like,
James, but I'm not studying right now for you.
You don't need to study. But is it was the second in, like, standardized testing scores in BC. Lord Bing.
Really?
Oh, there you go.
So, and a bunch of my girls got into those schools that they wanted to get into. They were really smart girls, but did not care about basketball until we started winning. As soon as we started getting, like, that inkling that we could do something.
Oh, for sure. That's awesome. High achieving academic students can prioritize time and budget their time in order to be there. They just hadn't really bought in. That was their excuse.
There's obviously some drive there and some work ethic. Mm-hmm.
I like, though, that as a teacher you were just saying, forget about your academics.
Part of being an athlete is the challenge of balance.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to make school and sport your top priority. Like, you got to do them all. Mm-hmm. You can prioritize your time.
Heard a great analogy about priorities. Glass balls and rubber balls. You're always juggling them.
Mm-hmm.
Both kinds of balls you're juggling.
Yeah.
Rubber ones, if you drop them, they're going to bounce back up and you can keep juggling them. Glass ones, they drop, they're going to smash. So those glass ones that are, you know, things that, you know, if you leave them on the back burner, your life's going to go downhill and it's not going to be good. Those ones you want to keep juggling. Yeah, exactly. Like relationships, those things. Where the rubber ones, you can let... You let drop every now and then, it comes back up.
That's a great analogy. Awesome. Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't take credit for it, but
quote unquote, Benya.
Given the topic of your story, what outro music would you want?
Like, what's a song you like? What do you think fits the vibe?
Closing time.
That's pretty funny, actually. Let me look here.
Like, what if you could describe the pinnacle of that whole experience with one song?
You did mention Roller Coaster.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, wait.
So maybe we...
Hawaiian Roller Coaster Ride. Roller Coaster by the Bleachers?
Oh, it's a...
I kind of like it.
I wonder what if about, Eric and if I have anything that we listen to that it was like kind of...
We're not gonna take it. No,
that's pretty funny.
We're gonna take it. We're not gonna take it anymore.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
That was a lot of fun.
I hope you enjoyed this deep dive into basketball coaching. My thanks to James, Ben, and Tegan for sharing their insights, and to Eric for making the world a better place, and to all of you for listening. Always appreciate the support. If you want to get in touch, storiestoldbyfriends@gmail.com or 306-665-3101. Leave us a message. See you next time on Stories Told by Friends.